So our next speaker, I met him a number of years ago at a National Groundwater Association meeting and have had the privilege of visiting the facility he's about to talk about out in California, which is an injection facility that treats wastewater and injects it back into the aquifer. And I've spent years trying to describe to people what it's like and how big it is and how massive it is and the types of the volume that's going through there. And it's really hard to do it justice without a full presentation. So I think Dr. Layton will be able to really shed some light on how far you can go with this type of technology. And in a state like Minnesota, where we're in our infancy, we feel like there's a lot of work to do. But I know that other areas of the country have made a lot of progress on this. And I think it will serve as a good example to us about what's possible with the right research and organization. Dr. Richard Layton is an expert in the field of geology, hydrology, and hydrogeology. Currently an associate professor of hydrogeology at the Department of Geological Sciences in California State University, Fullerton. Prestigious NGWA 2014 Ross Oliver Award winner. His career includes years of teaching, consulting, litigation, support, and management experiences. Dr. Layton received his BS from St. Cloud and his MS and PhD from Western Michigan University. So please help me welcome Richard Layton.
Good afternoon, everybody. I want to point out that the Minnesota gave me a more prestigious title than I actually have, because in the thing, they actually make me a University of California professor. I'm just a lonely Cal State professor. Oh. Other thing I want to bring up real quick is, where's my St. Cloud State students? Hey, thank you. Good job. How'd you let an Iowegian in there? How'd that work? But good job for coming, because being a St. Cloud State, I actually got an oceanography degree from there, by the way. They didn't even have hydrogeology at the time. And you cannot get further from an ocean than St. Cloud. Yes, I know. Okay. But that degree at St. Cloud set me up for some things, and one of them was the opportunity to go to Western Michigan University, which had a hydrogeology program that they copied from the University of Waterloo. And so I got to take and actually became a driller and actually drilled for the university. I was actually, for the 7 years I was there as a master PhD student, I was actually the driller. So I drilled hundreds of wells every year all over the state. Okay? But it was that education I got at St. Cloud that got me there. And Chuck Nelson, if you remember who he is. So anyway, today what I'm going to talk to you guys about is wastewater. Something I never thought I would ever say I'd be studying. Hey, I went to school as a hydrogeologist. I'm going to put in wells, water production systems. I'm going to do modeling, aquifer tests, all that good stuff. Instead, I found myself in cities like the city of Malibu, which the whole city sits on a septic tank. There is no public sewer system for the city of Malibu. So when you see the shows and all those beautiful beaches in Malibu, everybody, including McDonald's, has a septic tank. Okay. Well, what they're starting to realize is, on a small scale, they can copy what Orange County Water District did in a large scale. And that is take the wastewater, treat it, and treat it to a level that we can use it again for irrigation or potentially even for drinking water. So I've been the pleasure of putting in a $1 million wastewater treatment system for a house, a single family house. Okay? Now, you're not going to do that in most places in the country, but Malibu can afford it. Okay? So that kind of gives you a scale of the smaller side of things versus what I'm going to show you today, where we recycle 150 million gallons of wastewater a day back into our aquifers. 24 hours from the time you flush your toilet, you can drink the water at the plant. Okay? 24 hours. That's how fast and how good we're doing. In fact, I make all of my students, as I'll show you, go down there and take a tour of this plant, and they do not pass unless they drink the water at the end of it. Okay? Now, I'm brave, so I always start out first. It's okay. You know, but there again, you know, force those people to do it. Ah, there we go. Okay, so California. Some interesting things about California. I did not grow up there. Okay? I grew up in Oregon, where there's lots of water. and spent a number of years there in St. Cloud. It took me a long time to get to my undergrad, you know, because of an oceanography degree, and the red carpet was downtown. So, but California, it's about sustainability. But most people don't know what that means. In the case of Orange County, which I'm going to talk about, it means that we, between recycling and what rainfall we get, which this year we finally got an average, we are basically 100% sustainable when it comes to drinking water. Okay? The state of California is not, but my county is. Okay? And what's interesting about California is you've heard about the drought. Oh, my God, we're all going to die. We're going to take a tunnel, drill it all the way to Minnesota and steal all your water, right? Which is still happening, by the way. We're only in Nebraska right now. Okay? But the governor last May said, we as California citizens have to conserve 25% of our total water supply for the state. I laughed. I said, no way in hell. I mean, I don't, you know, bitchy Californians. I mean, come on, there's no way they're going to stop irrigating their lawn where they over-irrigate 300%. Okay? They want those giant palm trees. But yet, in 2 months, the whole state conserved 30%. Okay? So that's pretty amazing that people will do that. So that also leads to the fact that we're becoming sustainable. Okay? Not everywhere, but we're making the right steps. What we're really talking about is not your normal water cycle. We're talking about something that's called the urban water cycle. Instead of you guys pumping the water out of the ground, treating it, using it, treating it again, then dumping it in the Mississippi River for Iowa, why not spend a few extra dollars and treat it just a hair better and reuse that water? Why would you give anything to Iowa? Eh? At least that was something I learned when I was here. Eh? So with this urban water cycle, something we're going to see more and more and more. And it's not going to be unique to California. Eh? It's going to be something we're going to see in other states. In fact, I was in Atlanta, Georgia. They're starting to do some of this stuff. Texas, the same way. Eh? It's going to be something. I was in Michigan last week, and they're actually starting to talk about it for the first time. It'll be decades before they do something, but at least they're starting to talk about it. How can we take this wastewater and reuse it? We've already spent a fortune getting to the point where it's usable. So a little history of Orange County I'll give you here, some geology. I need to talk about the hydrogeology and the hydrology of Orange County because that allows us to do what we're doing. And then we'll talk about the injection and percolation systems which they use, which they get that 150 million gallons of water into the ground. And then I'll do some quick conclusions. To give you an idea, this is Orange County. I have no idea which button this is. Oh, there it is. In 1937, when they had a major flood, this area, it was a hugely urban agricultural community, thus the term Orange County. Okay. So in 1933, someone realized somebody needs to manage the water because if you leave it to the farmers, the whole place will go dry. Okay. And so 1933, the Orange County Water District was formed, and their job was to manage this basin. Okay, and I'll show you some pictures later, but the Santa Ana River runs through here, Riverside is over here, LA County's here, San Diego County's down this way. In that little box, there's about 2.7 million people. Okay, I just looked it up, there's only a little over 5 million people in the whole state of Minnesota. Okay, so, if we can become sustainable for almost 3 million people in the little tiny area we're in, we should be able to do it in other places. They are responsible for both surface water and groundwater, which is important. They tie the two together. Okay? They have to. So here is the area 100 years ago. In fact, we had artesian conditions here. And you were talking about the white paper, the drains, and the groundwater. First thing they did here, because they needed to do some farming, is they went in there and put ditches in. And concrete ditches. Drain the whole thing in the top 20 feet. All these places, like the city of Artesia, is gone. You know, the artesian conditions are gone. The city's still there. Okay. What happened then is they stopped irrigating. Water levels started to rise, so all those ditches now are permanently flowing streams, even in Southern California. Okay. Here is the watershed that I'll be talking about. It's the Santa Ana River watershed. However, the area that most important is down here is this 387 miles, but I also want to bring up there is issues with what's upstream of Orange County. used to be, all the dairy farms for the state of California used to be sitting right here. That was fine until the property became worth millions of dollars per acre. Those dairy farms went away. They went in there and built a lot of homes. What do the homes have? They have sewers. So now the flow of the Santa River, 80% of it at this point, is wastewater discharge from these guys upstream. So even though we're recycling the 150 million gallons a day downstream, we're recycling everything upstream, which is wastewater too. So virtually everything I drink is wastewater. Here is the water agencies associated with it, or the the groundwater basins. This is the Orange County Coastal Plain. Here's the Upper Santa Valley. Here's just giving an idea of the jurisdictional boundaries, because you guys talk about having so many regulations. That's nothing. First time I took a water sample in California, I had 14 different agencies watch me bail a well. What the hell? You know, there's not that many donuts in California. Right? Here's the water agency boundaries, because even though one agency oversees the system, there's little individual water purveyors within it. In fact, Orange County Water District does not sell water to the public. Their job is to charge the people who do serve you a fee for managing the basin and make sure there's always water for everybody. It's a little bit different than you see in most other places. The geology of the area is pretty important. Okay? We have a nice alluvial coastal plain that's several thousand feet deep. That's important because now we have a large aquifer that we can store water in. Okay? We have a large bathtub. Okay? And that's good, but except for we have the Pacific Ocean here. Okay? So if we start drawing down water levels behind, we're certainly going to induce groundwater or ocean water movement towards land. Terms for that. Here's the soils map. You'll notice the Santa River. We have a large alluvial fan. So where would you recharge water, students? If you're in this basin, where would you put water in? Come on, St. Clouders. Before the Iowegians get the answer. Right? Where's the coarsest grain material? Someone actually has a poster on this. Right? Up here, right? Comes out of that channel. All the coarse deposits are settled out first. The fines are downstream. So as a county, one of the best places they have to recharge is right up here. Okay? That's great, except for there's going to be some problems with that area, as I'll show you here in a second. So ultimately, the hydrogeology of the basin is, here's that four bay area, and we come down into multiple aquifers, and like I said, several thousand feet deep. We do have some major faults going through it, because it's Southern California, including the Newport-Inglewood Fault. Faults can be good. They can keep the water back, but they may be also a transmission pathway for the water as well. In this case, these faults, at least as far as they break, actually help us keep some of that saltwater intrusion out. Okay, so ultimately, we recharge here, everybody in this 3 million people in here pull it all out, and then somewhere down here we have a treatment plant that treats all the wastewater. And they just take that water, put it back upstream here, put it down. It's a closed system. It's that urban hydraulic cycle that we're talking about. And we'll get back to this picture in a few minutes here. To give you some scale, we use about half a million acre feet a year. Our basin, we try to keep it about 600,000 to 700,000 acre feet is what we consider full. Right now, it's down some. We have obviously one major river, surface water body or river comes in, and we're going to talk a lot about how we take that river water and get it in the ground because our goal is to never have one drop of fresh water make it to the ocean. You guys talk about rainfall catchment. Our job is to never let any of that get to the ocean because if it gets to the ocean, it's lost to us. Okay? A lot cheaper to treat dirty fresh water than it is salt water. So ultimately, we end up with this little three-layer system. And what's important about it is this shallow aquifer system here has a major clay in it. So as you go from where we can recharge, we can only recharge about half our basin before there's a major clay layer that basically keeps us from recharging below here. So the only way we can really recharge is get back up here in this forebury and get it down into this area. There's also, at 2,000 or 3,000 feet deep, there's a colored water program going on we're pulling out water that's red. The water is perfectly good. It just happens to be red color. No one likes to drink red water. The reason it's red is actually because of redwood trees, believe it or not. But they actually are filtering that out and using that water now, something we did not use a decade ago. Here's the more common picture you'll see for the aquifer. You'll see all these little things in here. Luckily, the local drillers and whatnot have drilled about every inch of this basin. In fact, I have a 1,000-foot Marlington well on my campus that I put in. We have a lot of West Bay wells. Anybody know what a West Bay well is? We have about 75 of those that allow us to take water chemistry in a single well at multiple depths, up to 17 points in a couple of the wells. But we've done a lot of geology or a lot of drilling in this area, so we know it pretty darn good. And once again, this is kind of following the Santa Ana River path. So here's the Pacific Ocean. Up here is where we do the recharge. So groundwater contours are important because up here is where we're recharging. At some point in time, because of our pumping, we're actually drawing down the basin so it's below sea level. That's bad, because then the saltwater intrusion can come in. So what we had to do is start thinking about how can we keep our basin full enough to keep the saltwater back, but also really have enough water for everyone to use. And that's where we're going to ultimately end up, and that is we use injection galleries and try to keep that saltwater back. But those major faults run right through here helping us. Not perfect, but they help us. And you can see on this one, there's a zero line here. That little blue line is exactly where sea level is. All of this area is below sea level. So we can have a major problem. And so we're going to have to deal with having seawater especially come through these alluvial channels here. Once again, we're up here in Placentia is where we're recharging. So the hydrology. The Santa Ana River is pretty darn important to us because by the jurisdiction or the adjudication of the water rights, we basically have about 50,000 acre-feet of water that has to come through the Santa Ana River right here, and that water is what part of what we use to become sustainable. So right now, basically 50,000 acre-feet of wastewater discharge upstream is what we're accounting for in the Santa Ana River. So not only have we got that Santa Ana River, but remember we got that clay layer? So we can only percolate water within that river down to a certain point within our basin, and then we can't any longer. So I'm going to show you some pictures here in a few minutes, and all of a sudden you'll see, you know, this nice sandy bottom river channel, but then it'll be concrete. And you go, why did they keep it? Why did they even put the concrete in there? The reason being is we can't get any recharge at that point to the rest of the ocean. So there again, we're trying to take full advantage of everything. One of the things we're going to do is what's called this Anaheim Spreading Center up here. We are going to divert water out of the river into controlled basins. Those controlled basins are there to percolate the water into the ground. Once again, we don't want any of that water to make it to the ocean. Okay? And so we're going to use those aquifers the best we can. So here's some pictures of the Santa Ana River. Here it is at the ocean. Remember that little triangle there, because that's the wastewater treatment plant. You'll notice these little furlows within the river. Every summer, they go out there with bulldozers and try to make this little tiny torturous pathway for the water to migrate it down the river. Why? Because the longer it stays in contact with the river bottom, the better chance we have of percolating it in. It also allows them to scrape off any of the sediment that's built up in there to make sure the bottom of the river is as porous as possible. So this is a losing river for my students in the room. Here's a little place. You can see here the concrete channel, nice little golf course in the bottom there. Okay. It's actually only about $15 to golf there, by the way. But the main channel starts here at Prado Dam. And now we're talking about wetlands earlier. Well, Orange County, there again, utilizes wetlands. How do they do that? All that wastewater, that 50,000 acre-feet of wastewater coming towards them, is dammed up by this dam. Oops. Right here. And there are wetlands back here that clean that water at least somewhat. And it's removing a lot of the heavy metals that are left in the tertiary treated systems up above. Okay? And so we actually are utilizing this Back Bay area. Now the problem we have is Orange County Water District does not control that dam. The Corps of Engineers does. So even though we'd like to keep the water back behind there until we're ready for it downstream, the county doesn't have any options. It's when the Corps of Engineers wants to push the button, they push the button. Why? Because they're in charge of keeping it from flooding downstream. And if it floods, we're talking about billions and billions and billions of dollars worth of damage. They're not really worried about drinking water. So now they're actually going back here and actually have a program to try to clean out some of this, because it's, you know, been there for 75 years, and now they're trying to get rid of some of the silts and some of the heavy metals and other things that have been built up back there. So they've actually got a program to clean it up a little bit. But this is their starting point, where they start to treat all that wastewater coming towards them using natural processes. Here's the wastewater treatment plant. Here's my students. Here's the water that 24 hours earlier was in the toilet. Okay. Here's that treatment plant. Its footprint went from this to basically it's two of these buildings. There's a little bit older photographs. They doubled that building down here. So all of this is all extra space now. Used to be big giant surface ponds that they used to do aeration in. Now they use reverse osmosis. So the footprint to treat 150 million gallons a day went from acres and acres down to just a couple acres. That's pretty important in an area where each acre is worth $1 million or $2 million. Okay. Here's a picture of the reverse osmosis system. There's just banks and banks and banks of these. I know earlier on we're talking about the reverse osmosis. I won't have to go into that. The idea here is they actually have a 20-year life expectancy for each of these membranes, and that's guaranteed. Orange County actually did millions of dollars worth of research on reverse osmosis and treating wastewater. Okay. Now, they're treating tertiary water here. This is not raw sewage. There's actually a sanitation district next door that treats the raw sewage, but their tertiary water is taken over into this plant, which is for polishing, essentially. Then they use reverse UV in these large tanks versus that little tiny one we saw earlier for the baseball park. That's a little baby one. These are big, nice, industrial-sized ones. And then we use oxidation at the end of it, too. Once again, here's the water that all the students have to drink. Okay. What's important about this, and something you guys talked about, is marketing. Okay. Science-wise, this is easy. How in the hell do you get the public to buy into what you're doing? So one of the things Orange County had to do in their billion-dollar project to do this was they had to put a significant budget together just to market it to the public so they would buy into it. And which age group do you think they had to spend the most money on? Yeah, old people. Okay. Leisure World. Okay. 65 and older. There were the people that go, there's no way I'm going to drink that water in the toilet. There's just no way. Young kids went, oh, it's all recycled, which it is. All water on Earth is recycled. Okay. But surface water, fish were having sex in it last week. I mean, come on. It's all recycled. Okay. But we had to spend a significant amount of time and energy to lobby and make sure the old people were comfortable with it. And one of the things they wanted to do was take this water and bottle it. I mean, all my students drank it. Why not bottle it? It's actually kind of interesting because it has no flavor, too, by the way, because it's pure water. Okay? So they wanted to bottle it. EPA said no. So they're still waiting on it. But they're still doing them. They're still pushing for that because they'd really like to bottle this and give it to kids. Okay? Why? Because they have festivals every year. And one of the things there, again, is to make sure the kids understand that they're drinking recycled water and to pay attention to it. Okay? Just like recycling. You know, my little 8-year-old came into me and, you know, I hand her something to throw away in the garbage. She goes, is it recycle or garbage? And I went, you know, garbage, of course. I'm a consultant. You know, I want to make sure landfills get filled up so we have a job later. Okay? Don't want to recycle shit. Come on. But anyway, the kid to the young kids, that's where our future's at, right? They're the ones that this is going to be norm for them. They're going to wonder what the hell we were even thinking that we didn't do this. Okay? The injection percolation portion of this. We have, in that alluvial fan, top part of it, some ponds. Now, you'll notice there's lots of white buildings around this. There's some homes over here, but notice all these buildings around it? The problem Orange County had was the most industrialized place in Orange County was sitting right on top of where the best recharge place was at. So from a contamination standpoint, probably not good. And property values are more expensive. Orange County just spent $20 million to get that little tiny square right there. Okay? That square is good to them, right? Because it actually allows them to perk in and maybe another couple thousand acre feet a year. But they're landlocked at this point in time. Okay? And with all that industrial complex, they do have problems with contamination. The other thing we had problems with, too, with that wastewater coming towards us, was we take water from the, we don't in Orange County take water, but the Inland Empire takes water from the Colorado River. What's the Colorado River have in it? Huh? Perchlorate from Henderson, Nevada. A nice little bomb-making facility blew up. Okay? Well, it was all fine because our drinking water levels were at 6 parts per billion. And then 2 years ago, the state said, you know, 6 is not, you know, I know it's lower than the EPA, but we got to be better than that. They lowered it to 4. Guess what? All that water on Monday that we were drinking was fine. On Tuesday, it's bad. Also, all that water stayed in the discharge system, which was coming down to these guys, which they were taking the river here, dumping it over here, and we started to see perchlorate start showing up in our wells. Okay? So there is some side effects to some of this stuff. Okay? The other thing is that this is all water from the river. Okay? You can see here we're trying to percolate it in, but that 150 million gallons a day that's coming from that treatment plant, we did not want to mix it or put it into these ponds. These ponds have to be cleaned out every year. We want that wastewater to get in the ground all the time. So we actually had to create a pond just for that wastewater. And the reason being is so damn clean, we don't want to mix it with this crappy water we're getting from Inland Empire. Okay? That's good because now we have a basin we don't have to clean, and it's a basin just for that, and that water is going in. Side effects. What things could be bad about putting in that ultra-clean water into the ground? Yeah, one of the things that no one ever thought about was it's pure water. It is hungry for ions. So we're getting the transmissivity increasing around our recharge pond that we have for this recharge water. But as it travels downstream, we're seeing places where the aquifer's starting to plug up. These are all things that no one even thought about before. So we're seeing changes in the dynamics of our aquifer system. Okay, now, we have no choice. It's going to be what it is. But it is something we're going to have to study more and more of. I had a student a few years ago, did a master's thesis on this, gave it to the water agency, and they went, oh, shit. You know, makes a lot of sense because we're seeing these changes in our pumping rates and some of the things going on within the system, but we have no choice. We have no option but to do this. Okay? So here is the Prado Dam that I showed you earlier. Here's the Santa River. Here's all our off-street basins. The Miller Basin is the new one, which we put all our recycled water in. You'll also see over here Irvine Lake and these bond pits. These are old gravel pits that are used for making road work that they bought because they were cheap. And we put as much water in there as we can. In fact, we have the ability to pump water from here uphill into these pits or reverse the water back down, depending on which one has most water. We are trying to engineer this system the best we can. We want to make sure everybody who wants water has it, and everybody who needs water is good quality water. And so, once again, we're taking the wastewater treatment water, putting it up here, but all of these are actually being recharged or recharge ponds of some kind. Here's a little bit better picture. One of the things they have had problems with over the years is plugging of those basins. They invented all kinds of underwater vacuum cleaners to clean out the silts. And none of that works. Actually, the cheapest way is to drain it and till it and just scrape it off. But nonetheless, and also the other thing that's kind of interesting for the students particularly is, where do you think most of the water percolates in? The bottom or the sides? The sides. Okay? Almost all the water percolates out the sides because the bottom gets plugged up so quickly. So to give you some scale here, I'm going to go through some pictures just to show you the scale of system. As you can see, those little cartoon drawings, they don't mean a whole lot. So let's see it how it compares in pictures. So here's one of the basins you can see here. They actually have a golf thing over here where you can shoot golf balls into this one. Okay. see here, Anaheim Pond is, or Anaheim Stadium somewhere down there. But you can see the size of these ponds. Here's the river channel. They have rubber dams they put in, okay, which is pretty interesting. It's something that can be utilized even in Minnesota. These rubber dams go up. When the water gets too high, they just lower the rubber dam, let the water go by. But by increasing the, by inflating the dams, they can actually dam up the water and therefore get more percolation. So we have these all down through the Santa River. Even the LA River took our ideas and copied them. They're doing some of this stuff in Albuquerque as well. But all they are is a rubber dam, the increase, and therefore back up water and get it in the ground. Everything we're trying to do is get water in the ground. Here's a zoomed out picture. There again, you can see the industrial nature of the area where we're recharging. Here's all of our ponds. Okay, another one over there, and everything up and down here. And down here is where the concrete's at. Here's those gravel pits I was talking about earlier. And just kind of some series of pictures here to see. These are big factories over here, and you can see the size of our ponds. Okay. So not only are we putting 150 million gallons in that one thing, we're trying to get basically another 400 to 500,000 acre feet a year through these ponds. Okay. That way we can be 100% sustainable. What's interesting here is you can see this nice little work they do in the channel. They spend all summer there grading the channel. They're allowed to do this because my fish and game people in here are going, oh, shit, how in the hell do they do that in the bottom of the river? But they actually own the river, and they never let the cattails grow, right? So as long as the vegetation doesn't set up, they can keep doing this, which is what they've had problems with in some of their recharge basins. In fact, a couple of the basins they can never clean out again because there were some nesting birds, which are rare to California, that decided to make this their home. So nonetheless, it's not this one. I'll show you here in a second here. One of these basins has a little floating island out there for these birds, but it's a basin they can never drain. So it's becoming lost to them as a water resources management tool. This one right here, actually, is stocked with fish. Another public outreach tool is there's not a lot of open fishing in Orange County, as you can imagine. So this is private property, so you don't even need a fishing permit. But they stock it with all kinds of fish, and the largest catfish in California was caught out of that particular lake. And then they drain it, and they catch all the rest of the fish. This one right here is the one that I talked about that actually has the nested birds in it. It's a lease nest tern or something like that that they're working on there, but they can never drain that particular one, and they always have to keep water in that particular basin. There again, just looking at the size of this versus what's next door. There's one of those rubber dams. You know, we're trying to, like I said, slow down that water as much as we can. Here's Angel Stadium. Here's the pond. And the golf course again, and then ultimately the concrete. Once water makes it here, it's out to the ocean. Okay. We also try to divert as much of our storm water as we can into these basins as well. So we actually have several of these basins that are only there for collecting storm water. And you can see this outfall area once again. So we've talked about the geology, the hydrogeology, our surface water interactions going on, and how we treat the water. Well, one of the main reasons for treating the water is to get enough water that maybe we can inject into the ground and build up the pressure near the ocean enough to keep that salt water from intruding. So your typical fetter picture of salt water and zone of dispersion and fresh water, that little lens, there again, you get to start pumping down here, salt water intrusion may come in. What we're going to do is inject water along the coastline and try to keep that ocean water back. Okay, now, by doing it with highly treated wastewater, it's good because we're keeping the ocean back, but it also means that water is going to get to the middle of our basin at some point in time and will be drinkable. Okay? So we're kind of killing two birds with one stone here. Once again, water levels are going to be, this is going to be our little tiny arrows. You can actually draw lines with saltwater intruding. Back here is zero again. And just kind of give you an idea, here's our two faults. Here's the diagram. You know, salt waters we pump back here. Keeps coming in these different ones. Who the hell named these aquifers? I don't know. They should have been shot. Okay? But nonetheless, they did. So you can start seeing the stuff come in. Here's their injection wells. By putting that water in, they can keep it back and also feed fresh water back into the middle of the basin. Here is some of the plumes that we see. This is going to be one of our big bad ones. Here's the city of Irvine sitting here, city of Santa Ana, Newport here. It's basically one of the ones we've seen salt water come in the fastest. So this one is one we're going to have to put a series of injection wells along here to keep that back. And in fact, they did it early enough, even though they saw salt water in the wells, production wells inland, we did the injection fast enough that now we're starting to see fresh water replace that salt water. We're actually able to push back and get it back to what it was pre-1970. Here's the Talbert series of injection wells. Here's our little gaps. Here's the one at the Alamitos Gap. There again, we try to pick roads to put these things along, and they have to be along one of our pipelines. They do a lot of geophysics and water chemistry sampling to prove. Well, every now and then, they find that something's sneaking through their wells. So what do? You go put a well there. So if they got them too far apart, we just keep narrowing it until we finally stop it all. So going back, once again, here's our saltwater intrusion area. Up here is where we're recharging. Okay? By recharging at the top of the fan, we're able to get that water at all depths within the basin, which is pretty important. Question that no one's asked, or you guys I haven't said yet, is how long does it have to remain in the ground before we can drink it? Okay. How long should it be? Week? 60 days? That's what we started at. Now we're down to about 2 weeks. Okay. I mean, basically, why are we putting it in the ground? Why would we take highly treated water and even put it in the ground? Why not just put it right in the pipes? Yeah, that's part of it, but it's perfect water. Yeah, why? It has nothing in it. It needs minerals, right? So one of the things I tell my students all the time is deionized water. If that's all you drank for water, you would be dead. Okay? Why? Because it demineralizes your body. We need those minerals. That's why we're geologists first, hydrogeologists second. Okay? Well, it just is. I mean, can't talk about the water until you talk about the geology. Okay? So we need the aquifers to add those minerals to the system before we can take it back out again. Now, luckily for us, the river water coming off actually does have pretty good minerals in it. Okay? But we still want to cleanse it because it's only tertiary treated water. Now, it's gone through the wetlands, so that's good, but it isn't good enough for us to take that water and directly drink it without spending a great deal of money on treatment. However, the water we're treating already, we can put up there, but we need it to pick up some minerals. In fact, we have to actually change the pH in the water before we can pipe it up there, because otherwise it corrodes our pipes, i.e. Flint. Okay? Flint, Michigan, for those of you who didn't catch that. Okay? So our system is getting basically a point where we are 98% sustainable. That's pretty remarkable. Between taking the water that's coming in from the river, what little rainfall we get, which is about 16 inches a year, which, by the way, we got an average year this year, okay? And then taking every drop of water that we can and recycle it back in. Okay? Now, some problems. Remember I told you early on that the state of California did such a great job in stopping the use of water. They saved 30% of water. That's great. Except for all the water agencies who put bonds together based upon the flow that was used before May last year now can't make their payments. The wastewater people are going, oh, shit. We used to have all this water coming down, flushing out our pipes, and now a third of it's gone. So now the state's going, okay, what's the consequences that you don't think ahead about? Yeah, unintended consequences. Now the state's going to have to pay all these water agencies cash in order to make up the shortfall in income that they're making off of charging us for our water and wastewater. Okay? kind of like you guys talked about early, if everybody catches all the rainwater and they don't need to buy it from somebody, someone's going to go, oh, shit. Okay? It's good, but it's bad. So we're going to have to deal with that. Like, why didn't you put a million-gallon tank underneath the ball field? Where's the people that did the ball field thing? Why? 27,000 gallons, that's nothing. You know? I have houses with bigger tanks than that. Okay? Why not put it underneath the whole ball field? Okay? Why not put the whole storage tank there? We do that already. University of Arizona, grass field, huge reservoir underneath it for stormwater. Okay? So do many other ball fields. I mean, those are the things we're going to have to look at. The other thing is, why not make it a total bathtub? You could took that ball field and done exactly what we do here. You could make it an enclosed bathtub. Every drop of water that came in stayed there. Only got rid of what extra you did not need. You should be 100% water efficient on that property. It's doable. Okay. Questions? Comments? You want to shoot me? Kick me out of here? It's okay. Yes. Evaporation. That's something that when I first moved to California, I said, all their open canals, right? We got canals traversing the whole damn state. I said, evaporation's got to be huge. It's less than 1%. And they said, it's not even worth their time. Other thing that's interesting, too, is I always get asked, we're next to the Pacific Ocean, the largest ocean, largest water body on Earth. How could we ever have a drought? Just desal. You're right. At $2,000 an acre foot, we can desal. I can do this for $600 an acre foot. So until desal gets down to that price, why do I need to do it? Okay. And I just had a paper project where they sold an acre foot of water, right? 325,000 gallons for 15 grand. What do you guys pay? About 4 cents? Yeah.
The state of California just completed a climate vulnerability assessment, and the state was divided into a number of zones based on projected temperature and precipitation information. And you know how changes in Orange County, you know, might affect the 98% sustainability factor in the future?
Our big thing with that is we're going to get the same amount of rainfall. Problem is we're going to get it in a short time frame, right? 20 years ago, we had these nice month-long storms, nice little drizzle. Now we get it all in a day and a half. So what we had to is that's one reason why those rubber dams become important on the river, because we can inflate them and we can capture not 1.3 but 2 inches of rainfall per hour up to 3 hours. After 3 hours, we've got a little dam down. So that's where we've tried to take that, and really it comes down to is another interesting thing is why do you have flat roofs in California? I know why you don't have flat roofs here, but why would California have them? Anybody know? Huh? Yeah, slow down the runoff. It's trying to get that queue down to something reasonable because their piping isn't set up to handle the full thing. So we're already storing our water on the rooftops up to an inch or two just to stall that water hitting those pipes and going out. There again, it's good for us because it gives us opportunities to catch rainfall.
What's your price per gallon for
gasoline?
Treated wastewater?
$4.50 is what I paid the other day. I don't know that number. I should. I don't pay my bill. You know, my wife does that. It's not cheap. I know that. I know what the drinking water side is. But yeah, we do. It's okay, a couple $100 every 2 months. And that's both drinking and sewer. Something like that.
Over here. You talk about being sustainable, but that's only the human population. Right. So would you be able to be sustainable if you were to maintain, say, the Santa Ana in its, you know, natural habitat, for instance?
Well, if there's no humans there, there's nothing to not make it sustainable. But as far as what we're doing is we're taking out all our yards. I did a study a few years ago for some litigation, and it turns out in Southern California, the average homeowner over-irrigates their yard by 300%. That's the average. So when you take that and make it into gravel, that takes care of that part already. And we're given the artificial turf. I mean, that's the other thing they're doing. But biologically, we're built out. You know, we have the Santa Ana Mountains, and they burn every other year, so who cares?
Okay. as you see more domestic efforts to capture rainwater or gray water, is that also cutting into the amount of sort of product you're getting?
It does, absolutely. And there again, that's something that the county is now trying to figure out. Is they based, you know, a $10 billion bond on getting this much water. All of a sudden, they're not getting that much water, and, you know, some other things. Now, one of the things that they have not taken advantage of, which I told them, you know, Minnesota does, every time you guys build an overpass, what do you have next to the overpass? You have a hole, right? And that hole is where all the snow goes and gets plowed into it, melts, and it goes in the ground. We don't do any of that in California. So why not put some more swales in? Why not take advantage of these parking lots and make them porous and get some of that water in the ground? If our goal is to keep every drop of fresh water in-house, why not give us every opportunity for that? So now we're starting to think about porous pavements, allowing the people to have cisterns and put that in their thing. But at the same time, maybe they keep that over-irrigation going, because that's there again, that 300% had to go somewhere. It's going in the ground. So good question.
Hello. Okay. So with the groundwater in the storage systems that you have, the mineral to like have minerals go back into the water before you send it out to the public, what is the impact on the rocks or the minerals, like long term? Will those minerals change? The concentration of those minerals in the water change? Will it be like more dilute, or is that a concern at all?
It is a concern, but they don't know what to do. We have no choice. And so right now, all we're seeing is not so much changes in chemistry, even though we see changes in chemistry we've used in the past when we use Colorado River water versus water from Mammoth versus water from Mount Shasta, because remember, we steal water from everybody. Remember that tunnel? It's already in Nebraska. Okay? So we start to see some changes in chemistry, but really what they're more worried about is the changes in transmissivity within the aquifer, because now those giant miscible wells are going to have to be replaced because they're no longer getting the, you know, they're starting to plug up. So it's something we're going to have to deal with in the future, but right now I think we're probably 100 years from having to worry about that too much. Besides that, we got to worry about, you know, man-made chemicals more than anything. So. Well, we do frack them. Yep. Another good thing. I mean, I was telling someone at lunchtime, I gave a talk to the public because we do fracking of oil wells about a mile from campus. I put the chemistry of the fracking material up and the chemistry of Twinkie and didn't put which one is which. And ask the public which one you think is worse. They all pick the Twinkie. So.